Welcome to another edition of the Advocacy in Action series, which focuses on the people, policies, and activities in Columbus and Washington, D.C. that stand to impact your business. I'm your host, John Rizzo, VP of the Akron-Canton Advocacy Alliance, and today we're holding a conversation with a candidate for the Ohio Senate, Mike Roberto, as part of a broader effort to provide information to members regarding the November general election. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks to be here. I'm glad to be here, John. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So why don't we just get started? You know, tell us a little bit about your background, your experiences, what motivated you to run for the Ohio Senate?
Okay, absolutely. So I actually am an educator by trade. I spent the last 34 years being a teacher, coach, and school administrator. Last five, a superintendent of the Aurora City Schools. And so I just actually recently retired as of
Congratulations.
August. Thank you. And I'm not very good at retiring because August 1st, I retired officially and kicked off our campaign August 5th, going in for this state Senate. So now as a Democratic state Senate candidate for District 27, I'm excited to be able to kind of make that next step, which is another way of trying to serve the community just in a different role.
Absolutely. And we'll get into some workforce topics later, but just a little bit on your background as a superintendent, you know, what about that experience, you know, positioned you to build relationships with employers and things like that to understand their needs?
Yeah. So the superintendency in particular is a pretty position that is way more business-like than you might realize going in. In particular, I'm basically in charge of a $40 million budget that we have to, you know, work hard to be very efficient and effective and use effectively with. We have over approximately 400 employees. So it's a small business, you could say, but you can't run it like a business necessarily. That's for sure. It was a successful one. If you use the niche of a school district, we were nationally recognized with our high school through U.S. News and World Reports and all of our schools, actually, as well as, you know, state recognition from there. It is unique because we have to measure our success differently. It's most businesses, you talk about the revenue coming in. Actually, the successes we had actually brought in less revenue from the state in some ways. And so we had to be able to balance that out and use our money appropriately.
As you're thinking about the Ohio Senate and, you know, how you might engage in a variety of issues, knowing that you're one of many in, yes, the Senate, you're one of 33, but also in the broader House. What do you view your role to be as a state senator?
So again, as a superintendent, as an advocate of a school district, the state senator is going to be an advocate for the Senate district in the sense that you have to be able to, one, know you don't know everything. And I know that came very easily to me as a superintendent and even as I'm campaigning today. So you find the people who know what they're talking about. You learn to ask good questions, you listen, and then you find ways that you can kind of support them. So I really feel my role as a senator is to do those things and then work with my colleagues down in Columbus to really collaborate and do what's best for the folks here in Ohio, both individually and as businesses.
Regarding your colleagues down in Columbus, Just to kind of ask the general bipartisanship question, right now, there's an election in November, but the current political makeup puts Democrats in the minority. What would your approach to bipartisanship be to get things done that you and your constituents care about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we are, you're right, there's actually a supermajority down in the Senate and the House right now. There's only actually three seats, just to put a little plug, three seats to flip to make that not be a supermajority. And this particular seat is the most competitive seat coming up, District 27. But as I mentioned, my role as a school leader the last two decades required me to work with everyone, and everyone is passionate about public education. So you had to figure out, ways to listen and work with all kinds of folks. So similarly, down in Columbus, I plan on really trying to keep my eyes and ears and mind open to all ideas, and then be able to take those ideas and use the lens of District 27 to come up with what the best way and where I should land.
Great. So as a member of the legislature, you would be voting on a number of key issues and funding opportunities that would impact the whole state. So let's zoom out for a moment just from a policy perspective. What do you view to be the biggest challenges or opportunities for Ohio over the next 5 to 10 years, and how would you like to see the state engage in them?
So I think on a similar schedule for districts, school districts, you know, we had a real trouble with our workforce. And so we had a dwindling shallow pool of candidates as more and more. And I think I'm seeing that across Ohio as well. So trying to find ways to support and increase that workforce is probably one of the biggest things. But you combine that with just the economic pieces like affordability in relation to whether it's affordable housing or even childcare, which are two things that will come swing back and help businesses. Because if you can find affordable housing for people who are coming working for you to live close by, and if you can provide childcare so that there are people who sometimes have to make a decision between working and staying home, if you can provide that childcare and have enough of it, then you can keep those workers. And therefore, in the end, it makes for a strong business as well.
So you just mentioned a number of topics that are, you know, very often debated, talked about, thought about by folks down in Columbus and across the state. Again, kind of zooming out from an economic development and competitiveness standpoint, you know, what's your vision for making Ohio competitive for business investment and job creation, not just with our neighboring states, but nationally?
Yeah. So I think one of the things we have to do is try to build that workforce. And one way to try to do that is connect our employers with the schools, as in a quick example, whether it's high schools, vocational schools, or universities and colleges. There's opportunities to kind of make connections through whether it's internships or opportunities to learn and grow. And so by building a stronger workforce, I think that's one way to do that. This is sort of tied to the schools, and that is the tax piece as well. You know, municipalities, each city has its own sort of tax base that it works off of, and it varies not only from the schools, but from the cities, the fires, the libraries, and things like that. It can get kind of confusing. I mean, a lot of times I feel like it gets over my head even from a school's finance standpoint. So one of the things, if we can help to support that, and one way to do that is that money that makes its way down to Columbus, get it back to the municipality so they don't have to ask as much money for as much money at the city or municipality level. I think that can help businesses as well.
So you mentioned bringing together employers and schools, and there's a number of programs that have either been proposed or actually implemented that try to do that, whether it's from your background as a superintendent or just from a policy perspective that you can see the state of Ohio playing a role in. What is the ideal partnership between the business community and education look like from your perspective?
I think the opportunities for kids to get in and work with, businesses just to see what's happening, like I said, from an internship piece. But then where the state can kind of play a role is providing grants students so that maybe they come and work with local businesses, and those grants maybe get forgiven as time goes on, especially areas of need, that sort of thing. If we can come up with some unique ways, and, you know, certainly we don't have to invent them. We can look at other states around us, see what's working for there. Innovation isn't, it doesn't take place in a bubble. You look at other people around you and what they're doing, and then you take it and adapt it to, you know, your particular area. So those would be some things I would try to do as well.
So when we think about the various funding mechanisms, whether it's taxation, grants, things like that, from a regulatory and taxation perspective, you know, if you were to take office in January 27 and it was solely up to Mike Roberto, what are some of the tweaks and changes that you would like to immediately see?
Well, you know, I mean, I think I'll give you the disclaimer. The first thing I would do is talk to people, talk to the business folks, and find out what are the things that need to be changed from their perspective. Those are one of the things that I think is important. But I do think that trying to increase the workforce is going to be something that I would try to focus on. Something that maybe is quick and easy, though, is the energy piece that is associated with businesses as well. And that is to try to, you could say broaden our energy portfolio by including things like solar and wind a little bit more. Where down in Columbus, some of those things have been kind of, there's been some barriers put up. And I think all of our businesses can benefit from having a broad electrical and energy portfolio to pull off of.
So you mentioned energy, and that's a good segue. Just from an infrastructure standpoint, knowing that there are many times that the legislature is focused on education, workforce, talent development, economic development, infrastructure is obviously a key piece of all of those areas. What are the investments that you think are working well? What do you think the state can do more of or should do less of in terms of things like broadband, roads and bridges, things like that.
Yeah, you mentioned the broadband. I do think, you know, this area of Ohio, we're fortunate to have a lot of broadband access and things like that. But I think across the state, there are businesses that could benefit from having better broadband access and things like that. And thinking of like Southeast Ohio in particular, that would be something. But again, bringing down, you know, building the infrastructure up to bring down the costs and things. So energy would be that, you know, going back to the electricity piece, the more and more that demand comes up, especially with larger businesses, data centers as an example, because technology, I think, is going to be continue to grow. We have to find that balance between, you could say, the environmental sustainability piece, as well as the economic growth piece. And I think there's a way to do that. You just have to pay attention.
Yeah. So whether it's based on your experience as a superintendent or even talking with folks who might own or operate a business, how important do you think it is from the state's perspective to do its part in ensuring predictability and stability? And how do you see yourself interacting with members of the business community to understand what that stability could or should look like?
Yeah. So I think the stability piece is very important. It's essential. Even if the news is not good news, at least people can make, if they have a little predictability, what's happened, they can plan accordingly. And I think that's where we kind of saw the tariffs and the unpredictability that came with those really hurt businesses, because people didn't know what to do in some cases, and they were guessing, and that's not a good thing when it comes to businesses. So having that predictability can kind of help with the stability. And I think the way to do that is, I had mentioned the idea of connecting with people, collaborating, listening, and finding out what are the best things? What do you need? How can I help? And by talking to, you know, my goal is to connect to a lot of folks, whether it's through the chamber or through just individual small businesses, to have a pulse. And when things come up, there'll be people that I'll reach out to ask questions, to have a better understanding, so that when I vote, I'm voting in the right way.
Great. So a lot of the issues we discussed have either been issues for a very long time or have a long runway where just progress needs to be made incrementally. Let's fast forward, say, 2 years from now, and we're at the end of your first term. What are a couple things that you hope to see have been accomplished? You know, what would you define as being a successful first term?
Sure. Well, I think, I talked about like U.S. News and World Report, and from a school perspective, from a business perspective, we're kind of in the bottom half of the country when it comes to economy in terms of ranking and growth and things like that. So getting Ohio back into that top half of the country from a business standpoint, I think would be evidence of growth in the positive way. That would be something that I would want to be doing. But I think going back to the workforce piece, having a strong, trained workforce that can be supported. And I mentioned the childcare as one example of that, so that people are coming not only back to Ohio, but they stay in Ohio and contribute, and we can continue to build. Because I think having a deep pool of candidates helps to make a great balance between the workforce as well as the business community.
Right. So you're speaking to a room full of people that you've met for the first time. What's your pitch to them as to why they should trust in, you know, put their support behind you down in Columbus?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, from a business perspective, you know, I've modeled, whether it's a leadership in a school as a principal or as a superintendent, I've modeled this idea of listening to others and being, you know, serving through leadership. And I do think that that is a leadership model that can work across District 27 as well as down in Columbus. And that starts with finding the right people, as I mentioned, listening, asking questions, and understanding that, one, you don't know everything, so you have to be sure that you find the people who do, and then find ways to support them.
Awesome. Well, hey, before we wrap up, I wanted to do a optional rapid fire round of questions.
Sure.
So let's just try to keep, you know, whether it's one word or just, you know, under three words, responses to each of these.
Okay.
Biggest barrier to business growth in Ohio?
We alluded to it, a deep, strong workforce.
One policy you would change or implement immediately upon taking office?
I think the easiest one would be the broadening our energy portfolio. So adding solar and wind to the other, you know, resources.
Industry with the most growth potential in our state?
In Northeast Ohio, I'd say, you know, healthcare continues to grow, but Ohio as in general, technology, like things like AI in particular.
One word describing Ohio's economic future?
For me, it's opportunity.
From your perspective, what's the biggest misconception about state government?
I will give the disclaimer, it's my perspective, but I will say I think sometimes the Democrats kind of get a bad rap for being the cause of problems, and this is a Republican-led state for the last two decades. So when it comes to where we rank and where our economy is, I think there's a balance needed in place. We alluded to the supermajority in Republicans. So if we can get a little bit more balance, I think that can be good for everybody. Too much of anything isn't good.
Mike, thank you for that. Any closing remarks, any information you could provide folks if they want to learn more or get connected?
Well, you know, more than anything, I'm always open to help to make those connections. So if people are interested in finding out about our campaign, they can go to our website at robertoforohio.com and not only connecting through there, but we'll be around the district. And I'd love to have conversations with folks, whether it's individually at an event or sitting down and having a cup of coffee.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.